welcome to the Life is Hard, God is Good podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Larson, and today we have a very special guest, my new husband. His name is Drew, and we are going to be talking about just how God's kind of brought us together through our story, where he's taking us. We have a big move coming up, Lord willing, and also just some questions that have been asked by some of our friends and family and listeners. So we'd love for you to join us today, and I'm so happy to have him on the podcast with us. All right, Drew, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, absolutely.
So we just talk about how we kind of came together.
Mm-hmm.
So how did we, you want to start, how did we meet?
Well, we had met in passing a couple times. Because her roommate for most of 2020 and 2021 was one of my coworkers. Mm-hmm. And we just so happened to quit the job at that company on the same day. And so the Thursday ahead of that, we planned a little get together, hang out, went and got pizza. And then we came back to my coworker's apartment, which was obviously Rachel's as well. And when Rachel got home from work, she sort of joined in our post fun activities and got some good conversation going, some spiritual conversation, some just goofy things, some shared mutual interests. And, you know, Rachel wasn't just, you know, the excitable, like, post-dance girl anymore. She was like, oh, it's like a very interesting, very attractive person to me all of a sudden in this sphere. And that's how we met.
Oh. Yeah, you were over. I think I saw you. I didn't really, like, know your name. Like, you'd been in our apartment before and whatever. And, yeah, then you were at our apartment again for that post-quitting hangout. And my roommate was like, hey, you should join us. We're talking about religion. And I was like, oh. So it was some good conversations right off the bat. And I noticed that we kind of aligned on a lot of the things that were being brought up.
Well, it's funny because my walk at the time was, I would say, dwindling is to be an understatement. Mm. I wouldn't say I was walking with Jesus at that time. And so it was an interesting conversation because I was saying, I'm like, you know, here I was postulating things from a standpoint that I had been in the previous, like, year and a half or so, but wasn't quite actually feeling or believing with my practical theology, if you will. So we were agreeing on, you know, theoretical things.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really doing that. And I knew that at the time, even talking to you. I was like, what's this person going to, you know, be like? Or, you know, yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, I remember Sabina, or, like, my roommate texted the next day. It was like, hey, are you interested in dating Drew? And I was like, oh, why? Is he interested in dating me? Like, I don't know. Because I just, like, you know, we talked and whatever, and you were going to a new job. She was going to a new job. So I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll never see him again. That was a good conversation, but I guess that's it. And then she ended up giving me your phone number because she was going through all the, like, changing jobs and all that stuff and everything, and we were talking a little bit, so I was trying to feel out the vibe, and then you were like, what church do you go to? And I was like, ah, church pals, okay. So we started
Yes, that is true.
That's where my brain immediately went, when you're like, what church do you go to? And I was like, oh, yeah. He wants, like, a church home. So then,
yes,
you have a different perspective on that.
Well, okay, so well, it's funny because that Friday after we had our hangout, I was like talking to people, debriefing, and I think after I had mentioned this, Savina asked you if you wanted my number, because I was like, oh, kind of like crushing on Savina's roommate, guys, she's pretty fun. Like, it was like, so that happened. But then I did ask about the church, and I don't know, I will actually have actively advised against this, but, you know, everyone's got their own heart check on this. Because I do believe Christians should be evenly yoked. You shouldn't pursue dating relationships that are not Christian from the outset. But the concept of, like, finding a woman at church is, like, it's just, it feels so I hated, like, I just, it feels uncomfortable. But that is sort of...
What do you mean?
Okay, so, no, what I mean is, like, I asked you about going to church.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe there was, like, a small subconscious of me that was like, oh, yeah, maybe, like, this will go somewhere. But it was like... 85 to 90% was like, I need to get right with God before I can even begin to approach this, like, very faithful, very, like, you know, Jesus-loving woman in front of me. So, like, I was like, okay, let me figure that relationship out first. And that's, I think, why I started there. But that I knew that sense. If I was going to your church, you know, maybe over time, I feel my relationship with God is, like, walking where it needs to be. Like, my heart is where it needs to be. Maybe down the line,
you
know, things will happen. Who knows?
Because, like, at first, we weren't pursuing anything with that. Like, you were started coming to our church, and, like, after church, my friends would always, like, get coffee together and talk about our week and just kind of pray together and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so you joined with that.
Very
and then
quickly.
Just very quickly became a part of the friend group, started doing stuff with us and all that. So, really, it was just, it was church pals for a hot minute.
Mm-hmm.
Until, like, June.
Yeah, I think it developed over May.
Yeah.
At least from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And your heart was understandably more calloused to new relationships than mine was. I had been out of them for...
Yeah.
Three years, really.
Yeah.
So I was, like, not reeling. So I was like, I'm feeling good. Like, I'm like, like, all of a sudden, like, the Lord just recaptured me because it was like, I think the first or second sermon at Calvary that I listened to was like, don't drift.
Yeah, I sent that to you and you watched it online.
I had watched it online. Yeah. And then the next one was like, oh no,
and
I don't know.
And then you came in person, I think, after that.
I just remember, it was like back-to-back sermons. I was like, okay.
Good.
The Lord is...
Yeah.
Really talking to me right now with this. Yeah.
For sure. But yeah, my heart was a little more callous because, like, I've shared that on the podcast before. I've been engaged a couple times before. So I was just like, ah, I'm just never going to get attached to humans and I'm going to, like, leave before they leave. Like, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Like, and I finally got to I did a lot of healing, like, worked through a lot of that stuff and just, like, remembering that God is our first love and that, like, even if I never get married, like, I will be fine because, like, I have him and that's all that matters. And so, like, he brought a lot of... Because I don't know that I would have ever been able to say that when I was younger. Like, that I didn't need marriage. You know, like, it's just like, you know, you watch little Disney movies and it's like, oh, they get married and that's the happy ending. So it's like, that's just the goal of life is to get married.
It's a Disney movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not... It's a good thing. And it, like, you know, it can glorify God, but that's not the life goal.
Yeah.
But... Anyway, so in that time, I'd gone through a lot of healing, but I was also, like, just trying not to get attached to people, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But then, in June, we went to, like, an outdoor... Our church has, like, a yearly outdoor kickoff thing where you go and, like, do worship and stuff outside in this big park and everything. We went out to a bonfire at our friend's house, and, like, on the way there... I'm with my friends, not Drew, but I was with my friends, and we were going through, like, the McDonald's drive-thru, and my friend was like, why don't you date Drew? And I was like, I don't know. He was like, he's a real-life person, and, like, he loves Jesus, like, all this stuff, and I was like, I guess, I don't know. Like, and then we were at the bonfire, and just, we were vibing. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing my thing.
You're doing your thing?
Yeah. Cracking jokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And... Yeah, there was a moment where we were talking about salsa, like, dancing. My friends love to go dancing, and I was like, oh my gosh, you should join us for salsa. And I, like, leaned over and, like, touched his arm, and I might have died a little bit on the inside because I, like, felt his bicep and was like, woo! But that was, like, I was like, oh, maybe I am attracted to this guy a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I dubbed you, like, Queen of the Embers, because you were, like,
Queen of the Flames,
you were,
yeah.
Yes, you were, like, staring into the smoke and, like, just, like, basically bleeding sweat out of your eyes for virtually no reason at all. It was just a display of carnal toughness. I don't know.
Yeah. But... So that's how...
So clearly that mating ritual worked on both of us. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Oh, for sure.
No, it was, it was certainly the first night there was like, oh, there's kind of a spark here.
Yeah.
Like, we're having fun. We're,
yeah.
You know, there's like the little glisten in your eye. No pun intended. But, yeah.
Yeah. And then you asked if you could scoop me up to go hammock.
Yeah, like a week or two later, we went in hammock and had a little port wine and a little bit of a drizzly rain.
Yeah.
And we chatted about life and, like, siblings and goals and motivations and, yeah, it was a nice little, yeah. And we were, like, just smushed up in the hammock. Yeah,
because,
okay, that is a whole other side story.
Quick side story. I was staying at someone else's house because my roommate and I were in between leases, so we were kind of couch hopping. And so my stuff was kind of in my car, kind of in a store, whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, I got locked out of this house I was staying at by my own stupidity and left everything that I had either in my car or in their house. So it was just me in my dress, and I knew he was coming to pick me up. And I was like, should I sit in the backyard? Should I wait on the front porch? Like, this is just going to be weird no matter what. But because of that, I didn't have my own hammock. So we were, like, sitting side by side, all kind of smushied up in the hammock. But anyway.
Looking back, I mean, not even that part, but, like, what you were describing about how to, like, come out of the house. It's just, like, oddly, like, bad game show style. Like, you just kind of, like, appeared from behind the curtain.
Yeah, I decided
of the
I went
home.
From the backyard, so I decided it was better like, than sitting on the front porch. So I just awkward, when I saw your car pull up, I was like, all right, now
welcome,
I'm gonna casually stroll.
To this friendly neighborhood driveway.
Oh man.
Can I get in your car and drive to the park now? Yeah.
Yeah. So that was our first date, and then we kinda dated we dated a little bit over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Went on some dates. He's super sweet and everything. Wrote notes and painted pictures and drew drawings and stuff like that for me, and then I was like, you know, let's be pals. So
we're 3 years after the year anniversary. Oh, three years after. Friday was the anniversary of Let's Be Pals.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that was like August last year. I was like,
August.
All right.
Yeah.
Early August. Well, because
that was tied to what we're going to get to.
Yes. Because he had applied for a program that was out of the country, and I was like, I think I am tied to this area. I don't know. And, like, I was honestly also just trying not to get attached to people, so I was like, let's not get attached, so, all right. So we were back to pals, like, I still hung out at church and with our friends and stuff like that. We went camping with our friends and, like, did salsa and all that, which is very different experiences for us, because in my head I was like, we are totally pals, we are so friends. And yours was a little different experience during that time.
Well, I think I just had to go through a process of, like, choosing God first. Like, it wasn't, man, like, he just revealed so much of, like, I remember reading, like, actually, it was really a couple songs, too, that really spoke to me. It was just it's the simple, like, give and take away. Like, he says no to prayer. I'm like, we're like, God, give me, like, work on this in my heart. Give me this. And then sometimes the answer is just no. And you just got to, like, take that. And I think I had really gone through a lot of growth in that area because of this. Like, a couple. Mm. It was just like, okay, well. You know, I think I was holding on to some hope that, like, somehow it would work out, like, you know, 15 months down the road if I was back from this position or whatever it was going to be. But it was also just like, no, I got to cut that hope out, and this is not the hope that I hold on to. Mm. And it was like, no, the answer is no. And sometimes that's what we have to do. I don't want to go down that route, but I mean, sometimes people have to make that choice for life.
Yeah.
Just with the various nature of themselves and the calling of our commandments. I mean, for me to have to make that choice for, you know, one person or for this time, I was doing a little bit of comparison in that way to help ease that, but it was also, he was teaching me, you know, hey, sometimes no.
comparison.
Sorry. Yeah, that was, that got down. I, a little loopy with the storytelling. I think, okay, to be more transparent, like, I'm thinking of, like, our gay brothers and sisters who have this temptation for these relationships, but want to follow what the word says, and how they make that decision and God has said no for all time. It's not like you like, as you know, a straight person who can jump to another straight person theoretically, even though that's not really our, again, it ties into the same thing, that's not our end goal. Marriage is not our, you know, ultimate purpose in life. But
yeah,
especially for the, I just want to like voice that out there for the people that are going through that. I mean, it's part of it was honestly like, okay, if those brothers and sisters could do this, I can certainly do it for one person or for a season, mm-hmm. you know? And it sort of bolstered my encouragement in like, how can I like step into the body of Christ there? And you know, cause so much of that is winds up being loneliness or, you know, so how can I like step into those people's like relationships with those people more and in more significant, like Christ-centered ways, to share life with them.
Yeah. And supporting them. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. And you were going through all that. And I remember you talking about like an Isaac moment or whatever, oh, which yes. was like around the same time that all of a sudden I was like, wow, yeah. this guy.
Yeah. I had a little bit of a yell sesh in the car after salsa, coincidentally. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, like this, I mean, salsa dancing is not like a completely, you know, I don't view it as like this platonic thing. I mean, we were with our friends, but it's just like the nature of the dance itself is, shall we say, you know, picante. So I feel like it's just, it's not like, I don't know. It was just, it was for a number of reasons, from a struggle with, you know, feeling like I need to be good at every single freaking thing I step into right from the get-go. Total cancer in my brain. To like just like the emotions of like, you know, doing something semi spicy with you is like, I did not like leave that evening / weekend very like happy about like where I was sitting.
Yeah.
So but there was a good like Isaac moment out of that. It's like, I have to give this to you. Like, I can't, this is the sacrifice, like in this season of life, take this.
Yeah.
And I was like, preceded by some screaming in the car, but we got that there.
That happens, yeah. Yeah. But around that same time, like when you were kind of giving up, or not giving up,
yeah,
like giving like, it up. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
It was sacrificed on the altar.
I was, because originally when I was like, ooh, let's be pals again, it was like, he might be moving really far away. I think I'm really plugged in here. I don't want to like get distracted from where God's got me. And God was doing some work in my heart for kind of not being plugged in where I was, and honestly being in the 1040 window, which is like an area where there's just like not a lot of people know about Jesus. Like, there's a very low percentage of people who know about him, because we'd watched this video for Maps Global, which we've talked about before on the podcast with my friend Jolie, but they do a lot of stuff over in that 1040 window, just like reaching people there. And I was like, man, I'm in this area. Like, yeah, I get to share about Jesus in different ways, but like a lot of these people already know who he is. Like, I want to go somewhere where like people don't really know who he is. And like, I don't know. And I just have such a heart for like going different places and traveling and like all this stuff. So I was like, maybe that's where I should go. And this was completely separate from Drew. This was just something that God was kind of working in my heart. I was like, maybe overseas, like maybe that's the move. So I kind of looked into that a little bit and trying to be prayerful about that and all that. And then following that, I was also just noticing, like, after church when we'd have our pals just get together and talk about life and pray it, Drew just always had amazing things that God was like revealing to him, and like ways that God was working in his life, and the way he'd like pray for people. And I was like, wow, this guy is pretty cool. Yeah. And my family loves Drew. Like, they were always like, why aren't you dating Drew? And I was like, well, I don't know. And, like, they knew that, I don't know. They knew before I did that I really cherish you. And, yeah, I don't want to admit that I really loved you a lot. But then I was like, hey, well, we'd been chatting a little bit about different things. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, you know what? Can we talk? So
yeah,
he came. He was like, I'm getting some snacks. You want any gas station snacks? And I was like, a Reese's would be great. You brought like three different kinds of Reese's or five. I forget how many kinds. It was a lot.
It was kind of goofy.
But
I just had a feeling what you were going to do. I had the whole weekend to think about this because, like,
you're going out of town.
I was already planning on going out of town. I was at a football game that weekend with my brother and another friend, and
yeah,
and we play. I was like, on
Friday, and you're already on the way to.
Yeah, I'm leaving town. So, and I'm like, oh no, but also, oh yes,
yeah.
It was so funny because we were just talking about the Isaac moment. It's like it was like a week before. I was like, you know what? Thanks God for like being all I need, right? Like I was done with this, like it was so good, and then all of a sudden Rachel's like, so can we talk about that? I was like, oh really? It's funny how like the moment that you really don't seek it anymore, mm-hmm. and you're just not the prize of your heart, it's not the focus of your like mindset.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Okay, now you can have it. It yeah. happens a lot.
Yeah. It's like those good gifts. Same thing with me, like the marriage thing of like, oh, I want marriage so bad, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, I don't need it. And then met someone pretty cool like you. But, yeah, that's something I've been thinking about a lot with, because, sometimes when life is hard, like it's, you're forced to realize that God is our good. I've been reading Psalm 73 a lot recently, and like yeah. his presence is our good. He is good to us. Like, we don't need anything else. Like, he's all we desire on heaven and earth. Like, that, he's all our portion. And it's easier to see that sometimes when everything's stripped away and, like, all we have is him. But it's also remembering that and, like, when he gives us the gifts and, like, I don't know. I've been reminded of that as we're in, a sweet season right now. Of just, yeah. like, there's been a lot of really good things.
Yes.
And even though there's been a lot of good things, it's still that he's our goal, our good, mm-hmm. and our portion. And these other things are just, like, blessings that he gives us.
Yeah, I've struggled more in the blessing than in the suffering.
Mm.
I find it's easier to go to him when you're weak. I mean, and then I think this is not an uncommon thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that. It's like, you know, even in the good, I'll follow you. Like, it's...
Because the good can distract us from the giver.
Yes.
Of the good.
Yeah. I think it's like, you just... And so, I remember right when we first started being like, okay... Let's do this. Let's actually like
in November.
Date in like in the beginning of November. It's like, man, I cannot lose sight of the fountain for the gifts that he's bestowing. Like, this is the fount of every blessing. Like, so I remember like being like, I need to not lose that.
Yeah.
Yeah, every good and perfect gift comes from him. So it's let's not forget him. And so I think that's what, especially recently too, with just like the wedding and everything going so well, and like just like, wow, I can't lose touch. You know, it's like, you know, lest you forget the Lord your God when you come into the promised land. Like, don't forget his name. You know.
Yeah, that's good. But yeah.
Deuteronomy 8:15. I almost tattooed that one.
Oh yeah.
Pretty sure it's 8:15, right? Am I crazy?
Deuteronomy 8 is like, yeah, talking about when they get into the promised land. I don't know the exact verse for that. Are you looking it up?
Oh, 17. 8:15 is when it starts. He led you in there. 8:17 is like, you may say, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today.
Hmm.
And then there's the turn side of that.
Yeah.
If you ever forget.
Yeah.
You're going to be destroyed. Like those other guys. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
Mm.
But yeah. So, we had the conversation,
yeah.
and we took some time to pray about it, because I was like, hey, I don't know, I'm kind of interested, blah, 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 And then you were like, let's pray about it. Like, mm-hmm. I am definitely interested, but, like, want to make a wise decision. So we took some time and then came back together and, like, mm-hmm. decided yes, basically.
Yeah, I was like, can I talk to you on Friday about this? Yeah. Actually,
it was going to be, like, a week.
It was going to be a week. Sunday to Sunday. Here's what the thing was. We had that. We talked on Sunday night, mm-hmm. and then we were kind of, like, chatting, and it got, like, a little, like, it was like the floodgate was kind of open for, like, hey, we can kind of talk about, like, you know, being attracted to each other again. So, like, Monday, like, half of Monday was, like, it was just more flirty than, obviously, it had been, because we were just occasionally checking in on life, and so... I think we had a conversation with our mutual friend. I did.
You did. Oh, my gosh. I remember this.
Yeah, yes. And she was like, have you guys agreed to, like, get some space to think about this beforehand? I'm like, you know what? That's very wise. Thank you for your wise counsel, good friend. And so I was like, Rachel, we should probably not talk. And that's when we established, let's not really get too chatty until Friday. Yeah. The Lord just revealed a lot to me in those, like, 36 hours before I was like, oh, okay, this is a go-ahead. Because I was like, I literally had just given up this, like, need, this desire, this thing to have this relationship. And so I was like, really, Rachel, you're really going to do this to me? I remember another friend was like, come on. Yeah, so... It took me a little bit, but I was like, I still kind of want this, actually. Like, yeah. And, like, God's, like, I think freedom and glory that Paul writes about, and especially when it came to, like, it was a lot of the text in, like, you know, the food and the, like, the ritual kind of stuff that, like, the battles between the Gentiles and the Jews were having in the early church. It's like, you know... I don't know. It just was like those two main words were like freedom and glory. It's like, okay, I'm 100% going to do my absolute all to glorify you in whatever I'm going to do, and it's going to include this. So I think it's that passage is like, whatever you do, do it for the glory of
Colossians 3.
Yes,
about.
I think
you
that's
do,
yeah.
Do it all.
Yeah. I have notes from that time period.
Oh, yeah, you had notes.
I took a major...
He brought notes to that conversation.
It was a lot.
It was good.
Obviously, some, you know, Corinthians is like the worries of pleasing a wife, like taking away the worries of pleasing the Lord, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. But it did come down. Oh, yeah, I opened my study at the time. And it happened to be 1 Corinthians 9. And the first four words of that are, am I not free? This is like Paul, like, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus? Like, this is when he's more talking about, like, hey, do I have a right to, like, take taxes and stuff? But it was, like, the exact word. I was like, oh. Like, if you use your freedom to glorify God, you know... see to it whatever your hand lets you do, right? So, yeah, that got a little rambly, but it was good. Like, we just, yeah, God revealed that to me by Wednesday, and we had a conversation.
Yeah, we did Wednesday instead of Sunday or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And then we started dating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, because of life, we weren't dating a long time before you proposed. We got married.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How did you propose?
Well, it's funny because it still was a surprise for the actual day. We did.
Yeah.
We did successfully get you.
You did.
Even though we were talking about it, like, pretty much, like, the week after we started dating, because I was like, well, here's the logistics on this life. We're going to have to get married fast for... you know, this plan to move thing that we're about to talk about, too. So, I proposed with... we were on a trip.
Little Michigan
Airbnb
trip with the pals.
Michigan trip with some friends. Some of the same ones giving us wise counsel. Mm-hmm. And I had painted for little watercolor paintings of some key moments, including the
August. Where we talked.
Yeah.
The first date hammock.
Mm-hmm.
The bench breakup.
That's where we're starting there. And then I had illustrated a poem that she had written in like December. And so, yeah, I used those as well as it was just like a moment where we just caught you outside. I was like pretending like they gave me birthday gifts because it was like it was my birthday eve or was it my birthday. Yeah, it was actually the day. Yeah.
I already gave you your gift.
And yeah, you had given me a gift. And
my
then,
friends, they all had these envelopes. And they were like, oh my gosh, should we give Drew his gifts now? And I was like, oh, I wanted, gave him his gift. I was confused. And like, they all had matching envelopes with numbers on them. And I was like, what did I not know about this? What's going on here?
Yep.
So they all like go out and hand him these envelopes. And he opens up these pictures that look like he painted them. So I was like, why did they give him something that like looks like his artwork? And then I was like, oh my gosh, like... I was realizing that it was like...
I brought you over. I was like, can you help me figure this out? I'm really confused. And then, yeah, while you were holding them all, I was like, it's time.
Yeah.
We'll
pop down.
Pop down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you danced around a bit. And it was very cute. And then we had a good rest of the weekend.
Yeah. That's very good.
And then we were married less than 3 months later.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a small wedding. Very sweet. Very fun. It was honestly perfect for us. It was just very chill. Like, yeah.
I mean, we had planned the venue a month and a half before we proposed. Yeah. Like, it was not like...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were looking at... Like, so it was... Yeah.
It wasn't like I was like, oh my gosh, he's asking me to marry him.
No way. Yeah.
But you didn't catch
me. I mean, we were intentional the whole time.
Yeah.
So...
The whole conversation in November was like...
Yep.
This is...
I presented some options.
Yes.
It was just four significant options based on our level of craziness feeling. Based on our level of,
Wait, you were talking about the life plan?
ISFP life plan.
Oh, yeah. We're the same personality type on Myers-Briggs, the ISFP, which is dubbed the most unpredictable introverted type. Anyway, So when he...
We'll call him the artist or the adventurer.
The adventurer. I love that. I love that.
Yeah,
yeah. But, So when we're having this conversation about... Okay, yes, let's date. Drew, among his notes that he had compiled in this 36-hour time period, he had five different pieces of papers for different plan potentials that could occur with us dating.
It's really
and
a kick out of a lot
the
of
worst one was the boo plan, which is we don't date and we don't go to Japan because you had been
For literally no reason at all, actually.
Yeah, it was just a goofy
It was a one plan. Sentence, why would we ever do this?
Yeah. and then, well, and the Japan thing is because you're applying for the teaching English over there, which is,
And that's what's going on.
That's what's going on here. So, yeah, the last of the plans was the ISFP Extreme. Number four was
the first plan.
The American Dream, where it's like, we get married and we don't go to Japan, which was, we thought what was going to happen
the
because we were, you were on the waiting list for a minute, like you'd been accepted. As like, okay, if someone doesn't go, then you go. And so we're like, oh, okay, I guess that means we're not going, maybe. So we got married, and then 6 months, or not 6 months, 6 weeks after getting married, the ISFP Extreme plan kind of comes into play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, what'd you get?
Got upgraded. So 2-3 Wednesdays ago now?
Something like that.
It was
like
right. It was the week before July everyone 20th. Normally would have left. Yes.
Yeah.
So like the flight out date out of the Chicago area was the 23rd,
mm-hmm.
and I got a letter, email, on Wednesday of that week.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, congrats, we're gonna upgrade you. Give us a reply in 48 hours.
Yeah, they're like Friday at 2 p.m. You must give us a response.
So we had a good afternoon.
Yeah, we came back and we like. I was like, okay, we gotta make lists. We gotta have a pros list, a cons list, and then, like, just some questions we have, blah, blah, blah. We, like, listed everything out.
Mm-hmm.
We prayed about things. I was like, let's go on a walk.
Went for
a walk. Talked about it. And honestly, like, I felt like I knew after that. Like, when we went on the walk, I was like, I feel so much peace.
Yeah,
I didn't say anything to you.
Your peace helped me out with it, for sure.
I didn't say that, but, like, I felt it.
Because, yeah, when I got that email at work, I was like, oh, shoot. It wasn't like... right away. It definitely wasn't, because my brain started going like, hey, here's all the Indiana plans. Work's starting to feel a little bit better. Like, I'm really settling into this new role of, like, you know, and, like, ownership over this, like, specific process and, like, all the, like, you know, product group, whatever. And so it was, like, getting better, and I was like, oh, like, we can settle here. Like, this is fine. So I started, it just kind of shook me out of that. It took me a little bit to, like, oh, here's where my heart was. Here's, like, what I was thinking. And, like, Rachel's excitement then, like, the next morning especially, too, was like, oh, yeah, let's... Or maybe next afternoon. Next afternoon.
About,
you're like, let's just do this. Oh. Like, it was like, I think it's time to do this. I'm like, yeah, it is. And so...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the walk was helpful for me, too. But I needed that time to be like, oh, you know... Sometimes God's promises take 400 years to happen. In this case, it was, you know, 3 months. Because I really felt like he was pulling us there, and I still do.
Yeah.
I mean, especially some conversations I had even on Friday. I was like, oh, wow, like, this is bigger than this English teaching job, I'll tell you that. I think he's going to definitely have some very important things for us to partner with him there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and funny enough, the whole thing with, like, me having a heart for, like, going further out and whatever, Japan is in the 1040 window, and I didn't know that. It was, like, is it 0.5% of the population is Christian?
Yeah, between 0.5 and 1%.
Yeah. Something. It's very low. Very low.
Yeah.
So.
It's a very secular country.
Yeah. So that's the news. We're moving.
Wish we had
Lord
a date.
Willing, sometime in the end of September.
Yeah, end of September,
like
early October range.
Going you'll be teaching English there. I'll be hopefully finding, we don't know where in Japan yet.
It's all gonna come at one time,
but once we get the place,
the location,
I'd love to find, like, missions and dance stuff to get involved with, and I'll have more time to do some podcast stuff too, which would be nice. But yeah, so right now it's just having a lot of faith and not really seeing what's gonna happen or where we're going, but just trusting in the mystery and eat the mystery.
Eat the mystery. It's one of our favorites.
Yeah. It's like it's from a book that I read called 1000 Gifts by Anne Voskamp, I believe. But she talks about how the Israelites had manna, which literally means what is it? And they ate it. And so it's like, when, you know, sometimes God gives us things that we don't understand, and you gotta eat the mystery. Enjoy it and
eat the mystery.
Alright, so moving on to the Q&A. We got some questions that the people want us to answer. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. What were the main things that made you decide to get married? Those are my good jokes.
Yeah.
I added that last part.
Well, that was a big one, actually. I mean, it's the mutual sense of goofy humor. Like, I would faithfully enter a marriage if God would pull me into one that wasn't filled with the same humor and laughter, but man, it sure makes it better. I mean, that is a good one. Honestly, I think the humor, to be honest with you, that was one of the first things that pulled me in that Thursday night.
Oh, when we, like, first talked?
Yes. It's the humor and combined with the generosity and, like, the heart, the servant heart and the generous heart. And that's really where I was drawn in the most. Cause you were just so willing to, share of what you had at the time when just, like, we were, you know, yeah. I was like, I love this creative, funny, you know, heartwarming, Jesus-loving person. So, I mean, as Rachel talked about, like, not being attached right away, I was honestly kind of sold in, like, May before the spark even happened. But I got a little bit, and we probably will get into this, I'm sure someone asked this question, but it's like, I've gotten to see a lot of how I feel like God's been giving me a chance to reflect some of his, like, pursuit of us. And how that is, like, patient and always ready to welcome us back. And I feel like he's let me partner with that a little bit in this whole courting process. And how I was like, you know what? Like, okay, I'll let her figure it out on her time. And maybe it won't happen. Maybe it will. But I think that was one of the biggest things. Like, talking about that October time. I was like, you know, if it happens, you know, she'll come back possibly. Like, and maybe, you know, maybe it's not, maybe this isn't us. Maybe it's somebody else or whatever. But that was one of the, yeah. I think it just being able to kind of be able to, like, taste and see some of, like, his unrelenting, like, grace and patience with us. And, like, kind of, like, how I, you know, pursued you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Man, that's really sweet. yeah, for me, it was, like, I was just so in love with your heart. Like, the way you worship and, like, you love him and, like, you see his beauty and appreciate his beauty in nature, like, in a similar, like, we just both see him in nature a lot, you know, and your heart for people and just, like, how he's working in your life. Like, it was, like, even when we weren't dating, I just loved hearing all the things that God was talking to you about, just being able to share that. And, of course, the goofiness and, like, even just, like, our shared, like, wanting to, like, travel and, like, loving learning languages and things like that. A big thing for me was there were some, like, little things I remember talking to my sister about. I was like, oh, we're not, like, 110% lined up on these, like, specific things. She was like, Rachel, that literally doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I was sitting here and I'm like, I'm not trying to be the guy that's, like, waiting to talk, but I realized we didn't really answer, like, why marriage. Oh, I was like, why I, like, fell in love with you.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think why that, marriage? Like, I think you're getting onto the point
that right we have there. The same goal. Like, we have the same, like, our mission in life. Like, we want to glorify God, but, like, specifically, like, we want.
Yeah, I'm like saying it's how we handle the difference between each other. I think was a huge indicator for me of a potential, like, okay, great. All like the humor, the heart, like all this like wonderful stuff is good. But like, I think what really was like, okay, like this is definitely like the woman I'm like going to marry is like how we handled and how we conversed over the things we definitely like had disagreements on and how that was like done in the way that it was. I think that was a huge thing for me.
Cause instead of just
stepping into marriage and in a relationship where, you know, not everything's going to be, you know, sunshine and rainbows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause like it was helpful because we would press into them instead of like them being things like, oh my gosh, we don't see this as the same way. Like, oh, well then I'm just
never going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Run away. Yeah.
Right. But instead we were like, okay, why do you think that? Why is this important? Where did this come from? Like, what is your perspective on this? And just like listening to each other and realizing at the heart of things, like it really is the same. It's just like the way that we go. Yeah. Anyway, so.
It'd be nice if the country was run this way. At least the kingdom is run this way.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
It's more about the kingdom than anything.
Yes.
Anyway. The heart and the kingdom. Okay. Well, let's get to some more questions. You ready? What was your favorite part of the wedding day?
I don't want to just say a holistic vibe, but that was big.
Yeah.
I love that it matched our heart and our personality for it being like chill and not like high stress. Mm-hmm. And that can be attributed in great part to our more high stress, more high planning people.
Who helped us
make
that day possible. AKA shout out
to mothers and sisters.
Some friends,
and
cousins.
Cousins, yes. So shout out to you all. Thank you so much.
Thanks for making up for our lack of planning.
So I think part of that was why it went out so well for us.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I told we were planning this, I was like, give me a concrete room to say, like, yes, I'll marry this person in. And like a small, like, lamp in the ceiling and I'll do it. Like, it wasn't like, let's just get married. Like, it was just like, it is way more than all this other stuff. So I think the piece of that combined with like the time we had because of the relaxation and everybody else being on schedule into that first look time and just getting that time with you to just kind of breathe
Mm. Yeah, we did like
before
our first
everything,
look.
We did the first look,
and then we had
the
extra
ceremony.
Time, so we just got to like hang out
we were
for
just
a little
hanging.
Bit.
Honestly, we like went back and we're like, "Hey, what is everybody else doing?"
Yeah,
no, but it was really nice to be able to share that time with you. I think that was my favorite part.
That was definitely very sweet, like doing the first look and stuff like that. I liked. Honestly, the ceremony was really good. Like, it was just very cool. Our pastor did a really good job of
message was
incorporating,
good.
Like, the gospel and the message and, like, how a marriage or a wedding or whatever is a picture of him loving us.
Mm-hmm.
And just the dance party. I love a dance party.
Yes.
So dancing with you is always fun. Yeah, it was all really good. Having our it was mostly family, but it was just...
Yeah.
It was smaller, which was, like, honestly good for our chill vibe, but...
True.
Yeah. Okay, are you ready for a deeper question here?
Uh-oh.
So, this is, how do you combat fears about... And there's three parts to it. Are you ready?
Mm.
Combating fears about marriage being a trap. We'll start with that one.
Okay, keep going.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out what that means.
I feel like it kind of, you know how people are like, oh my gosh, like
you're stuck for this person forever.
What really, when I saw this question, I immediately thought of when we were doing
John,
counseling.
Yes.
With Pastor John.
Heck yes.
Because he was talking about, I forget how he phrased the question, but he was basically like, you know how marriage is the highest freedom you can have? And I was like, in my head, I didn't say this out loud, but I was like, no, it's not. Like, what are you talking about? But he was like, marriage, mm-hmm. I think he asked why. Like, why is marriage the highest freedom you can have or something along those lines? And I was like, psh, what are you talking about? But he was saying, like, you are in a covenant with someone where you have decided, like, this is my person that I'm going to choose to love through thick and thin, through the good and the bad. And so it gives you full freedom to be yourself. It gives you full freedom to, like, make mistakes and, like, not worry about it because they're going to be there and they're going to love you.
Yeah. I remember thinking, like, it comes down to the vows. Mm. And I think his metaphor there was like the guide ramp, the side ramps on a highway, right? Like, or like an exit, and how like we have these vows, these pillars that are going to keep us within these bounds. And we can trust that the word of the other person is good. And like, this commitment exists beyond our feelings or emotions. It's a covenant. It is a patterned covenant of our creator to be in relationship. And so that freedom comes from exactly what you just said. It was like being able to be like, you know, I can really royally, you know, mess up. Yeah. I have this person here that is committed to loving me. Maybe not liking me, maybe not, you know, infatuated in that time period for a while, but has committed to loving me despite it. And that's like the beauty of the covenant of marriage and the vows. So it is like a freedom to be able to, it's grace upon grace. It's like a microcosm of his covenant with us, the covenant of grace.
Yeah, absolutely.
His grace leads us to repentance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 2:4. Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay, and combating fears about the second one is growing stagnant as a couple. Part of that is kind of what you were just talking about, is like your feelings come and go. It's not about like the infatuation. It's about like you choose that person no matter what. But also just like finding fun things to do together. Like if you just come home and do the same thing all the time. I don't know. I feel like we always find fun things to do.
We do, but we've been married for 2 months.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's so hard.
So, and I think, I mean, yeah. Ooh. I think like any relationship, though, it'll get stagnant if it's not being,
and that's just part of like...
explored. I think there is just going to be seasons.
Yeah. There's sometimes where it's not going to feel like... it's life. Like, life feels the same way, you know? Sometimes it's really exciting, and sometimes it's like... it's just life right now.
I mean, sometimes it's, you know, Monday through Thursday of your work week.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean.
Yeah.
We haven't really gotten there yet. Again, hence 2 months. But, yeah, I think there's an important wisdom in knowing that that will come, not like expecting that it's the worst or like, you know, negative affectivity towards it. Like, yeah.
Not being like, oh, I'm bored, I'm going to find something else. It's like, that's just, yeah. Anyway. And then, okay, combating fears about letting each other down.
Oh. Ah. Fear, huh? Towards letting you down. I think that's another way of talking about, like, just, like, performing and, like, doing, you know, you know, like, we both want to have, like, I think that's been revealed, and, like, we've been talking through that a little bit, even the last couple weeks, about, like,
absolutely.
Yeah. Like, in various facets of a relationship, like, from the, you know, home life, like, cooking versus, like, bedroom versus, like, I mean, all these, like, assets were, like, assets, aspects of this relationship where you feel like I need to be tip-top shape to have this person continue to want to be in this relationship. It's like,
yeah,
all those fears, all that stuff we just talked about is like hoity-toity toy. You're just talking about crab as it comes down to this brass tacks here is like, are you practically believing that those guideposts are there with the vows? Rachel Miller Larson. I gotta stop doing that at some point.
Yeah, we just had that conversation, like,
yeah,
because yeah, I've been struggling with, like, feeling like, oh my gosh, I must be the most perfect wife so that he will never leave me and I will earn his love because I will just always cook food and I will have a clean place and I want to look amazing all the time and blah, 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 so that he...
And this is the purpose of our expectation discussion ahead of marriage, which I listed none of those things.
These are just expectations I have my own. Yeah, literally, like, it's not anything you said. It was just like, I feel like I want to earn his love and just be, like, very, like, I don't know. It's silly.
I know.
But there's one day in particular I was coming home from work, and I was, like, coming home later, and so I wasn't gonna have food ready before you got home, because usually I get home, like, way earlier than he does. And he came out, he just, like, kind of danced with me and was like, you're my wife. Like, I love you no matter what. And, like, like, this stuff doesn't matter. Like, you've exceeded my, like, you don't need to... Because my expectations are higher of myself than you have of me.
As of all humans.
Yeah. But, yeah. It's kind of like, just how we can rest in, like, being God's children. Like, it's not something we have to earn. It's just,
we are another way children. He showed me the partnership is like.
Yeah.
I just felt like I was, like, speaking his words to you, I think, in that.
Yeah, that was very good. I've been holding on to that, honestly.
It just came, I was like, this isn't even coming off for me. Like, yeah.
Yeah. All right, you ready? What's been the hardest and best parts of being married? I think hardest for me is just, like, that managing the expectations thing of, like, remembering that I don't have to earn or do. Be super amazing all the time.
I think for me, it's almost been, like, not even the expectation of, like, the performance side of it, just the expectation of, like, my presence and attention.
I was just going to say
that. And I'm putting that more stuff on myself. Yeah, I think that it's 100% the introvert stuff for me. I put more of that on myself than I think even you put on me. Though there are times when I'm just, like, in my introvert zone, laying on the couch, you just come, like, sit on me, and I'm like, all right, like, I guess I'm devoting my attention away from my, you know, restoration time. So I think that's more been like, okay, obviously, okay, maybe we should talk about that, and we do. So I mean, I think that it has been the biggest, you know, struggle, but it's also not been, like, you know, detrimental or rough, like, we talk about it, so it's not like, you
it's
know.
Just remembering, because again, I have that huge gap of time usually when I come home from work, and so I get introvert time, but you do not.
No.
So just,
no, yeah. I wish the car could be more of that for me. I mean, I get my worship songs on, but man, you know, 2 hours, 40 minutes in the car every day is like, It's more work. It's not just
a long commute. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Ugh.
And the best part, what's been the best part about being married?
The 93% of days now that I don't have to cook for myself. No, I mean, like, to that point is, like, I think some of it was just, like, hey, like, this is my element of service and sacrifice to you in this. Because, hey, you're, you know, you're serving in, like, these longer hours, you know, driving, you know, in your, like, efforts to support this new family that we're starting, here's where I'm serving you. And I was like, again, I was like, I remember explicitly being like, I don't want you to be my chef. Like, and, yeah. And I, like, I just kind of, like, hate those classic roles. And, like, I, you know, plus I was, like, very routined and, like, used to my own cooking stuff, too. So it was like, I was not, like, you know, I didn't need a woman to cook for me when I come home from work. Like, no. And so, I don't know. I've just found some, like, really, like, the fact that you do have more time than me to do stuff here is, like, I'm trying not to, like, have guilt about it and, like, just enjoy it, and I have been.
Yeah, because that's something we've talked about with, like, you're like, I want it to be, like, 50-50. I'm like, okay, well, I have a lot more time than you do. Like, I'm happy to serve in these, like, this
and
is not, like,
it's been wonderful, and I think I've been learning to, like, appreciate that and just understand. Also, that's just a part of your, I mean, as I knew and fell in love with, your, you know, love language of service and you know, sacrifice, and like, this is her demonstration of love to me in this way, and I'm not just, like, you know, taking advantage. Like, this is our, this is part of our covenant, this is part of a relationship, at least at this time. Yeah. So, and then just, like, really savoring that time, because then we get a chance to, like, have a bit more of a chat, and I'm not, like, running around in the kitchen, like, right after work or right after the gym. Like, you got the dinner on the table, and we can just kind of get into chatting.
Yeah.
So that's been nice.
Good stuff. I just, like, I don't know. It's good to live with my best friend. We just get to, like, hang out and make goofs and have little adventures and stuff. Oh, my gosh.
All the inside jokes we already have.
Yeah, I was talking about this today. My abs are sore because I laughed so hard this week, just like little goofy things that you did that I would just like die laughing for like 5 minutes. And like, yeah, I'm gonna have a six pack by the end of this. I don't know, 6 months of marriage,
mine's disappearing, so.
Okay, what have you learned about God through your relationship with Drew? That's the question, but you can answer it too if you'd like, in the reverse, obviously.
Which you've kind of been talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just kind of partnering with him in some of those areas of grace. And being able to, like, really, like, feel that and genuinely express that to you. Some of the goofs that have happened. Some of the minor.
Oh, we can get into that right now. Actually, I mean, one of the questions
if
is,
you want,
the funniest story as newlyweds so far.
Okay, yeah, you can own that one.
Okay, and this will tie in as well, because I've just been learning about how God loves us no matter what, because I like keep trying to earn things and blah blah blah. But so I've had this whole idea of like trying to be a perfect wife and just trying to do my very best, and within our first like probably 2 weeks of marriage, I messed up the laundry the first time we did it, because Drew was like, because I was like, oh my gosh, I have time tomorrow. I'd be happy to do the laundry. Like, he told me how it works here at this apartment complex, blah, blah, blah. I gave me the steps, messed up real bad. And we had wet laundry that I just had to pull from the washer, and we just kind of hung up all around the apartment. Anyway, then it's real toasty in the apartment for a while. And is like hotter inside the apartment than outside the apartment. What's wrong with the AC?
Substantial margin.
And we realized finally Friday morning, the oven had been on from like Tuesday to Friday, the gas oven.
I still can't believe it was that long.
Which I remember thinking I turned it off, because I was like, oh, I have to turn it off before I put this back in front of the oven or whatever. Anyway, I had left the oven on, and it was quite warm in our apartment for a few days. So that's great. Also, just, like, having COVID within our first, like, 3 weeks of marriage or whatever it was. It's like, oh, good. I'm glad you signed up for this. You can take care of me now.
You took care of me before we were married when I had COVID, so. Just just try to break that lie down right here. Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
No, so yeah, that was part of learning God's grace, and you were talking about the goofs.
The goofs.
I remember waking up that morning and being like, I cannot breathe. It is so hot in this apartment. And I was like,
and I just can't believe
I came out. I had the air conditioning was at. I know, that's why I don't really know how to even believe that was like, you know,
because it's not like we weren't in the kitchen all week where we wouldn't have.
So I come out of the bedroom and I'm like, okay, the air is set at 74 or something for nighttime or two. And I come out, it's 88 on the thermostat. And I go and I'm like, what is that massive wind blowing sound that I hear? And I like go to the kitchen and the microwave is just like, I mean, a leaf blower out there. It was just like, what is going on? And I like finally I feel the heat from the oven. I'm like, oh my gosh, it was you. I quit back. Yeah, but we had some grace in that. I was just like, oh, that's why we're roasting. It was good.
Yeah.
It was a funny moment.
Okay, you ready for the last question?
Yeah.
This one's really important.
Okay.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No. You know, how much do you want to get into this? We literally talked about this a week ago at Life Group.
Okay, well, not everyone who's listening knows.
Okay. Everyone, if you've made it an hour into this podcast, look up the food cube rule, or the cube rule for foods. A taco is a hot dog, and a hot dog is a taco. I really messed that up right off the get-go, didn't I? A hot dog is not a sandwich, it is a taco, based on the cube rule of foods.
Thank you.
If you want me to get into any more of that, you can. There's a lot of things that are indeed a salad, more than you think.
Well, it's like food rules of cubes. Cube food rule.
Well, okay, so there's like, it's all on like the number of planes of food contact that are generally
okay, but people who are looking gluten it up,
based. How can look up, you know,
food cube.
Cube rule for foods, cube I think, is probably the best.
If you just have those three words in some sort of order,
yeah.
Rule of cube.
Yes, yes. You know, there's a lot of good memeage out there on this. I mean, the earth is a calzone by these rules. It's a good fun time.
Okay, the cube rule of food is what I looked up, and yes. I found some sources.
Two planes
you can find out why Drew says that a hot dog is indeed a taco, not a sandwich. But anything else you want to say before we?
It's okay to put ketchup on said hot dog, even if you're from Chicago.
Oh.
It's certainly not quite as good as mustard, but it's okay. No one is going to be suffering any consequences, at least in my neck of the woods.
Thank you for the wisdom. This is good.
It was the last question. We were still on it.
Any last words? Yes, ketchup on a hot dog. It's A-okay, guys.
I'm just trying to give you a better ab workout today.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today, folks. And remember, God made you special and he loves you very much. Bye.